You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. Happy New Year to you. Here it is, a new year. And as we begin the new year, we always begin the year with a series that focuses on our vision and where we're going as a church. And I think you're going to be encouraged as we look at what God has called us to be as a church, because each one of us really have this calling on our lives. Every year when the calendar turns and we start fresh, my wife loves that time of the year because she is a journaler and she has these journals. She's very specific, very organized. And at the beginning of each year, she gets a brand new journal, right? Because she's filled up the last one, and she's actually always excited as she comes to the end because she's going to fill it up. But then the new year comes, and she gets a brand new journal. There's nothing on any of the pages. And she's excited about that because it's a reset. And here we are, where it's the beginning of the year, and we get an opportunity to reset, really, as the calendar turns to a new page. Our series is called Factory Reset. And of course, you know what the reset button is. I had one as a kid on my device, on my gaming console. And whenever I hit that reset button, we were going back to zero. It was a fresh start, right? So it's a new beginning. Some of the games that we played, I remember, they had to be done so precisely, right? You're going through the levels. I remember, I think it was Mario Bros, so precisely that if you messed up even once, you didn't even bother going any further. You just went ahead and hit the reset button and started all over again. The factory reset button, for those of you that are device and electronic geeks, you know this, but on almost every electronic device, there is a factory reset, and usually that button is kind of hidden. It's recessed a little bit. You sometimes have to get a pin in order to press it. And that's the button that when you press it, it makes everything, doesn't just start the power over, it makes everything in that device go back to the same way that it was on the first day it came from the factory. Don't you wish that maybe you could hit the factory reset button on the last 12 months? But the problem with that, the irony of that, and the irony of any reset button, is that a reset without a change is just a repeat. What we're going to do if you just reset is that you end up having to go through the same things all over again, the same levels all over again, right? That Mario Bros. Example that I told you about a few moments ago. You get to do the same thing over and over and over again, but you hope you're going to do it better because you learned something on this last time through. I've learned some things in 2020. It was difficult as a year. There were many challenges about it, but I learned some things. I learned that I had in my life allowed kind of a pseudo connection to take the place of real connection with people. And so, you know, I was satisfied with sort of half relationships, rather than real relationships, because the busyness in my life had filled it up so much. I had identified at times a church building with the church. It was certainly a mistake and a learning that I want to take into the new year. I learned in 2020 that I wasn't quite as in control of my life and my schedule as I thought. Truthfully, I don't want to forget what happened this year in 2020, because even though it was painful, I'm taking some things forward. And so while we reset the calendar, I don't want to erase my memory. I actually want to do this year better and in a new way. So the factory reset we're talking about in the series is not just simply a washing of our hands and forgetting of the last 12 months. It's really trying to learn lessons and going back to the foundational starting point, right? The factory that we came from. Going back to the one who made us, the King of Kings, and the guiding principles and the purposes of our life, and resetting back to those things. In sports, when there's an issue on the field, right, you've run the play and things went badly, you go back to basics. You go back to the foundation. You run the drills again, because the firm foundation is always the starting point, and if you mess things up at the beginning, everything is messed up after that. You know, in marriage, if you're having trouble, I have found that the best thing to do is to go back to your foundation. The foundation of my marriage is my commitment, our commitment to Jesus Christ. Right? And that's so critical. It's so important, because when I'm hurting, I want to hurt back. And I want to withdraw. I it's one of those two things. Either I'm gonna lash out or I'm gonna withdraw. But Jesus has called me to love even when it hurts. Right? It's amazing what can happen in a marriage if you have two people trying to out Jesus one another. Right? They're trying to out serve one another rather than trying to lash out or withdraw. They're saying, no, I got to push in and I got to love better and I got to love deeper. That's if you go back to the foundation, it will remind you and take you back to where you need to be. So as we reset this year and we prepare for what God is going to do in this next year, I want you to remember what God has called Koinonia Church to be. Over the next few weeks, we're going to dive into our vision statement, our values, and we're looking for those core foundational stones that we can build our life on. And I believe these things will launch us then in the proper way, prepare us for what God wants to do in these next 12 months. So let me begin with the vision statement, and this is where we're going to focus for the next few minutes. At Koinonia Church, we are igniting contagious faith in the one God who restores all. Now, each one of those words in that statement, I could spend time talking about how each one fits in to the others and how each one is essential. But I'm just going to focus on the first three words today of that statement, igniting contagious faith. It's actually something we chant together on Sunday mornings before service with all of our teams. We gather together and we have a time of prayer and encouragement, and we end with a huddle and we shout, igniting contagious faith, because we believe that's what God has called us to do in this community. I believe every follower of Jesus is supposed to ignite contagious faith. Now, let me just talk about those three words. I'm going to take them in reverse order. Let's talk about faith for just a moment. Faith is a complete trust or complete confidence, right, that God he's in control and he's going to do what he says he's going to do. This is what it says in Hebrews 13:6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can people do to me? That's the kind of faith I think that we're looking for, that we need, the kind of confidence that's unshakable. When you have unshakable faith, it's a complete assurance that no matter what happens around us, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the news media is saying, no matter what has happened to my left or to my right, I know that God is in control, right? The prophet Isaiah said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when everything, it seems overwhelming, I have full confidence the Lord is going to raise a standard against the enemy. Psalms 91 says this, do not be afraid of the terrors of the night or the arrow that flies in the day. Don't dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. See, this kind of faith is the kind of faith that if I lose my job, the Lord promises, I know, he promises to care for me. I may get a diagnosis of a terminal illness, the Lord promises that death is not the end. I may be betrayed by my closest friend. The Lord says that he's going to be with me. He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. I could be crushed in all kinds of ways in this life, but I'm not going to be destroyed. Right? Paul says that in Corinthians. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. He says, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. Let me just ask you today, how's your faith level? Are you quaking and shaking, or are you shaking and baking? Are you ready to move into the new year with an expectation that God, you know what, he's sovereign, he's in control, he's doing something in the earth, his purposes are going to be carried forward. I don't have to worry because neither death nor life is something that I fear, because ultimately he has won the victory. We have to remember, our faith isn't in a president, it's not in a governor and what they do or what they don't do. Our faith isn't in a vaccine or a top scientist. Our faith isn't in the economy or in a stimulus check, right? Our faith is in God, the God of the universe, the one who has brought the finished work of Jesus Christ to make a way for us into his kingdom. And his eye is on us just as it's on the sparrow today. It's because of that we can say, as the psalmist does, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So if your faith is weak today, I just want to encourage you. It's all right. Jesus is with us. But don't stay that way, right? It's time to reset. It's time to go back to the factory. It's time to go back to the master. It's time to rebuild your faith. Faith is a muscle, and it has to be exercised. And if you're feeding your fears and anxieties, if you're exercising your fears and anxieties instead of exercising your faith, then you're going to tend to stay upside down. I have found that when I stop reading all the news, all the social media, and instead I just focus on reading and listening to things that inspire faith in my God, my faith moves in a very different direction. Suddenly I begin to have this expectation. Oh, God is in control. He's alive. He's moving. He's going to do things. He's going to change the score. He's the one that comes in, and he never fails. That's the kind of faith that is contagious, right? So that's the faith in igniting contagious faith. Now let me talk to you about that word, the second word, contagious, for a few moments. We've heard that word contagious probably more in the last year than we've ever would want to hear it ever again. When we wrote the vision statement 2 years ago, the staff would always cringe whenever I would start to talk about this particular word, contagious, because it tends to get icky real fast. But the truth is lots of things are contagious, right? Not just viruses. Yawning is contagious. How many of you are yawning right now? Laughter is contagious, right? You've been around people that are laughing. Suddenly you find yourself laughing. Attitudes are contagious. You've been around people that they're so excited about something that it's like you find yourself caught up in their excitement. You don't even know what they're excited about, and yet you find, oh my gosh, I'm so excited too. I mean, the truth is that's how they sell knives and bullet blenders, is simply through this excitement that is contagious. The truth is it's not enough for us just to have faith by itself. The kind of faith that we need to carry in our lives is really critical. It's not just an empty faith. It's not just a faith that's just a word. It has to be a kind of faith that's contagious. I've done plenty of funerals for people who had faith, but it certainly wasn't contagious, right? I've sat with families and asked them about their loved one, and they'll say things like, she was very private about their faith. Or he had it, but he didn't really talk about it. And I'm not trying to say that contagious faith means that you have to talk about it all the time. But there does have to be a quality in your life and your faith that others can actually catch when they're around you. Right? St. Francis of Assisi, a famous quote, he said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." And so the kind of contagious faith that we're talking about is not one that just is all talk. It's not one that's just all action. It's one that that influences your entire life, that you're engaged in a way with your faith that others can't help but catch it. Now, let's make the obvious comparison here for a moment. Forgive me. But the way a virus works is that when it infects you, it uses the resources in your body to reproduce itself. It actually sort of turns your body against you in that sense. They ultimately survive in your body and ultimately infect others. Why? Because it has used your resources as a mechanism through which it infects other people. You become a walking contagion. The analogy for our faith is obvious, right? The good news that Jesus brought is a spiritual force. It's a living spiritual force that when it enters into your heart and it begins to transform you from the inside out, it takes over, right? You find that your entire being is transformed little by little, right? The gospel begins to change the way that you act towards others. Your attitudes begin to change. It changes the way that you talk. It changes the way that you think. It changes what you do and where you go. Everything about you begins to change. Why? Because this little seed of the gospel message of the hope and life of Jesus begins to transform you cell by cell, and you become infectious. You become contagious. You become contagious to those that are around you because they see you and they look at you and they say, what is going on with him? I want to know what's going on. What's the key to being contagious? Well, I think you first have to be infected yourself. If you're not infected, you're not going to become infectious. It all begins with a relationship with Christ that really you have allowed him to come in and to change you wholly. Now, some of us, I think the truth is, were infected a long time ago, but we have stopped being infectious. It's kind of like the case of the chickenpox when we were kids, where we got a few days off from school and the disease ran its course, and then we stopped being contagious. A contagious faith is an attractive faith. It's a faith that others, when they see it, they go, I don't know, there's something about that that I like, right? It's a faith that actually draws people to you rather than pushes people away. I like the word that is used to describe this kind of faith, winsome. Winsome faith wins people over, right? There's something about winsome faith that people can't defend against. It's almost like all of their defenses drop, and before you know it, they're infected. And they're almost going, I don't even know what hit me. And I just want to be honest with you for a moment. Too many Christians right now are frustrated and angry at the way things are going in this world. And we're taking out our frustrations on the very people that we're supposed to be winning over. One of the fastest ways that your faith will stop being contagious is when you focus more on winning the war of truth against someone else instead of winning a war of love. Colossians 4:6 says it in this way. Paul says, let your conversations be gracious and attractive. Gracious and attractive, so that you will have the right response for everyone. He tells Timothy this in 2 Timothy. He says, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. He shouldn't be fighting with people, is what he says. Able to teach, patiently enduring evil. I think that's interesting. Patiently enduring evil. There's lots of evil around us all the time. What are we supposed to do? Patiently endure it. Correcting opponents. So you do speak the truth, but how do you do it? With gentleness. Why do you do that? He says it right here. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. And they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. I mean, this is, I think, oftentimes where we make a mistake. We think that others around us that are carrying a different perspective, a different view, that are doing things that are godless, that we see them as actually part of the enemy's camp. We begin to see those people as the enemy, instead of understanding that they have been deceived by the enemy. We have to stop seeing other people as enemy combatants who we're trying to defeat. We need to start seeing them as family members who are precious to us. And when we do that, it'll change the way that we engage them. We actually might start being contagious in a way that will infect them, because we're so enamored with who they are, the person that they are. God created with all those unique giftings and abilities. They're lost right now, but we were lost one time in the past as well. And you know what? I just want to share with you a truth that will change everything, and that's a relationship with Christ. But what we often start to do is we start to say, well, let me get into a war with you of words, a war of ideas, and wars don't tend to change hearts and minds. So let me ask you, is your faith contagious? Have you become maybe more combative in this season than kind? Time to hit the reset button, right? It's time to come back to where you started. Back to your first love, back to the time when you couldn't help but share the good news. You couldn't help it because it was the most important message of all. It's what came out first. It's what people caught. You were bananas once upon a time for Jesus. Now, finally, let's talk about that word igniting contagious faith. Igniting contagious faith begins, right, with this idea that something is going to be lit on fire, right? I'm gonna land the plane here in the next few minutes. Our call is to ignite contagious faith in others. If we're gonna ignite something, we have to first be on fire ourselves. And of course, that's the key. The fire we're talking about here is the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said, when he was speaking of Jesus, there is one that's coming after me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Paul says to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God. See, there's a sacred fire that we all carry as Christ followers. The fire of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that purifies us and empowers us, enables us to live differently. It's a fire that is supposed to be evident to all those that are around us. Now for a fire to burn, you have to have fuel. We know this, right? The fuel of the fire is our life. It's your life and it's my life. And the truth is that the quality, listen to me, the quality of your life and the way you live your life determines the quality of the fire that you carry. And this is what I believe. Every Christian, our normal state is to be on fire, right? We're to be on fire for the things of the Lord. But being red hot and on fire, it doesn't happen automatically. Now, just think about a natural fire for a moment. I love fire. I'm a pyro for sure at heart. And if you're going to build a good fire, it doesn't generally happen by accident. You don't just throw a bunch of sticks together and hopefully toss a match at it and boy, magically you have a great fire. No, a good fire is a fire that's going to heat your house and it's going to last for a long time, right? It's going to burn long and it's going to burn hot. And in order for that to happen, you have to build the fire well. You have to have good fuel, first of all. The wood that you use has to be the right kind of wood and you arrange it in the right way. The way that you put the logs on the fire is actually important when you're building a good fire. Think about the fire of your life, the fire that you're to carry. Imagine that the way that you live every day in your life is resulting in the fuel that you carry, the fuel that you are, right? That you're either becoming oak or you're becoming birch, right? Oak wood burns long and it burns slow. Birch, it burns, but it burns fast and hot and then it's gone. The choices that we make every day in our life, how we care for our family, whether we tell the truth or we tell lies, how we spend our money and our resources, what we do with our time, how we think, the thoughts that we think, what we do, things that we say, all these things create the fuel of our lives. And the Holy Spirit is constantly, he's always whispering to us, he's always nudging us, he's encouraging us. And if we listen to him and we say yes to him, right, then we'll be called oaks of righteousness and we'll burn brightly. But if we keep ignoring his voice and we keep taking the road of self-fulfillment and just making ourselves feel good, it felt good to say that, it felt good to do that, we'll find that we ultimately in our lives produce very little heat. As a teen, I grew up in the church and I remember looking around and seeing that there were people around me who were incredibly passionate and on fire for the things of the Lord. And I love the Lord, I mean, no doubt. I wanted to serve the Lord. I really was seeking to live for him in my life, but I didn't see myself as that kind of on fire person, or I'm just passionate. And, you know, I've never been kind of a screamer in that sense. And I began to worry about it. I thought, well, is something wrong with me, right? Is the Lord not going to be pleased with me? Am I not excited enough? Am I not passionate enough? Am I not on fire enough? And then I remember I asked my dad, and he encouraged me. He said, son, perhaps the fire that you carry will be a consistent, slow burn. And I thought about that. And I realized now that when I looked at others, what I did really was kind of, I saw their personality expressed, and I mistook that for their passion for the Lord, right? And some people are passionate, they're expressive in everything that they do, and I tend to be a little bit more reserved, I'm a bit more of an introvert. And I've realized that the fire in our life is not about our personality. So when I'm talking about being on fire for the Lord, being in love with the Lord and passionate for him, I'm not saying that you have to always go around screaming at the top of your lungs. I'm talking about arranging your life in such a way that you burn well for the Lord. I'm going to say that again because I think it's worth saying twice. We have to arrange the fuel of our lives in such a way that we burn well for the Lord. That requires constant attention. Right? That's a fire that's going to keep burning every day. We're building the fire. Like the priests in the Old Testament who would daily and constantly go out to tend the fire at the altar. They were careful not to let it go out. They were careful to arrange the fuel correctly. We have to do that same thing in our life. We have to arrange our life in such a way that the fire of the Holy Spirit ignites each part of us. Right? By careful attention, we can order our life in a way that we cannot help but to catch ourselves on fire, right? Daily we put ourselves once again into his fire. We read his word. We speak with him. We choose to do things his way. We keep our hearts clean. We say no to the things of the world and yes to him. These things, they position us, they position our lives in such a way that we will stay on fire, we'll stay ablaze. But if we keep pulling ourselves away from his heat, if we keep seeking other sources of warmth and satisfaction, we'll find that we'll grow cold very soon, and our passion for the Lord will grow dim. And if we're going to ignite contagious faith, we first have to be lit ourselves. There's a story that almost everybody knows, even if you're not terribly familiar with Scripture, about Jesus turning over the tables of the money changers in the temple. He even made a whip out of cords and chased some of them off. They were making the Lord's house a marketplace, and it ticked him off. He was passionate about it. Everyone who saw him that day knew that he was on fire. And the Apostle John, in recounting that moment, he says this: "Then his disciples remembered this prophecy from Scriptures. Passion for God's house will consume me." Jesus was passionate for the house of God. He was consumed with a fire that said, "I'm going to do it the way that God wants to do it. His house has to be clean. It has to be set apart. It's there for the purposes of God." My friends, God's house is no longer found in a temple or a building. You and I are God's house. And I just want to ask you, how passionate are you for keeping God's house? That is the house of your life. How passionate are you for keeping it in order, for keeping it clean, for keeping it for his purposes? Have you been tending your fire adequately? Or has your fire perhaps grown dim because you've neglected some of the things of the Lord? Has the quality of the fuel of your life perhaps deteriorated a little bit? You've allowed yourself to slip and slide, and suddenly you find yourself not quite where you want to be. It's good news. It's time for a reset. It's time to go back to the beginning. But remember, it's not a reset without a change. If we do a reset without a change, it's just a repeat. I don't want you to have to repeat the same thing over and over again. So I just want to say, what needs to change this year in order for you to have a faith that is contagious and that ignites that same kind of faith in others? Out of those three words, igniting, contagious, and faith, what's the one that most needs a reset for you? Maybe what's the one that most needs to adjust in your life, that you're going to make a change? What are you going to adjust in your life as you move into 2021? Begin this year, I want to encourage you, by going back to the factory, going back to the God of the universe, allowing him to speak to you about what you need to do, what needs to be adjusted and rearranged in the fuel of your life. Let's burn brightly in this new year, brighter than ever before. If we as the people of God, if we as the house of Koinonia choose to live lives, arrange our lives in such a way that we're on fire for him, we will ignite faith in others. Faith in a God who restores all. Let me just say this. It all begins with a relationship with Jesus. If you want to be on fire, you have to allow his fire to come and consume you, to burn you up from the inside out and change everything about you. And if you don't have a relationship with Christ, it just simply begins right there where you simply say, "God, I invite you in and I give up my way. I need help. You got to save me from where I'm at. Save me from my sin. Save me from my own ways. Would you come and make me new? Would you light me on fire for you?" That's the beginning of a relationship with Jesus that has the power to burn you up in a way that will transform everything in your world and in your life. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you that you have called us as a people to live for your purposes. You've given us a new year, God. You're moving and looking forward, crossing the threshold into a new and fresh year. We don't want to miss, Lord, what we needed to learn in this last 12 months. God, I'm praying and asking that you would help us to see those adjustments that need to be made, where we need to shift, where we need to re-engage, where we need to bring back some disciplines into our life, where we need to put ourselves back and put ourselves under your fire so that we could once again be ablaze for you. Lord, I pray that you would make us a church that's alive with the fire of God. Ignite, Lord Jesus, contagious faith inside of us that we might see this community transformed. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.